Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The third, the fight of the best hour, the money hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is ESPN Upstate. I'm Rob Lonzo, directly across the glass, literally and metaphorically, from me running the show for you today. We are live in the Ingles Market Studios. You can text us on the Preferred Home Services text line at 71307. Start your text with ESPN. We'll read them on the air. You can also call us 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776 is the number. So we've got our conference championships coming up this weekend, ladies and gentlemen, with a pair of tickets to the Super Bowl on the line. And, of course, you can hear both of those games exclusively right here on ESPN Upstate. If you're out and about this weekend driving around, you can't be in front of a TV. Well, we got you. Tune into ESPN Upstate, and you'll hear play-by-play from both of those games right here on the show. Divisional round of the playoffs was arguably the best weekend of playoff football we have ever seen. Three games coming down to a walk-off kick. As good as you can ask. As good as you can ask. The last one coming down to overtime. So let's get into those games a little bit. We'll give you our official picks and predictions tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. But we will start with the AFC Championship. Lonzo's Chiefs taking on the Cincinnati Burrows as Joey B and the gang come to Arrowhead. Joey B earlier in the week said the SEC has louder stadiums than anywhere in the National Football League, going into the loudest stadium in America, at least on one occasion, in Arrowhead. And I'm interested to see what the fans are like in this one. Chiefs open, Lonzo, as a 6.5-point favorite. Remember, you get three at the house, so they're saying the Chiefs are a field goal better than the Bengals. ESPN's FPI says the Chiefs have about a 69.5% chance of winning this game. So it's a decided favorite there. The Bengals clinched the AFC North in Week 17 with a victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. 34-31, torched the Chiefs defense. Joey B., 446 yards and four touchdown passes, and appeared the Bengals had kind of exposed the Chiefs' flaw. Now, I would say that they kind of exposed it, and that is the Chiefs are susceptible to giving up big plays through the air, right? We saw the Bills do the same thing last week. Josh Allen was up and down. The Bills have a better defense than Cincinnati does, or at least statistically they did coming into that game. But the Bills, even as good as Josh Allen and the gang are not what the Bengals are through the air. Lonzo, I think this game, you know, I don't know how you can say it could be a tougher game, a better game, a more entertaining game than Buffalo v. Kansas City was. But what I did see out of that shows me that I'm leaning Chiefs, but the Bengals can absolutely win this football game. They beat the Chiefs 3 weeks ago.
Oh, without a doubt. And if you look at how the playoffs went last week, chances are they're not going to be any blowouts. They're going to be fairly close games, both these games. And it's going to come down to maybe crowd noise. There's a rumor that maybe Kansas City is handing out megaphones. I don't know. I just made that up.
Oh, okay.
I just made that up. They should, though. Even if it's those little plastic ones, because that would help project a little bit more. But it's going to be loud. We know it's going to be loud thanks to Burrow saying what he said. And Kansas City's got a little revenge on their mind because they knocked them out of the number one seed. And you can look at it and say, well, they lost them in the regular season. They're going to lose to them here. But Buffalo also beat Kansas City in the regular season. So, and playoff Kansas City, as we've seen, is different than regular season Kansas City because they step it up a notch and can, you know, do things in 13 seconds that other teams cannot.
Yep.
So I can't hide where I'm leaning. You knew where I was leaning before the beginning of the season. But this is going to be a good game. And to me, whoever wins this game, I'm rooting for them to win the Super Bowl.
Because
I do like Cincinnati also.
Cincinnati and Joey B. In the playoffs, only the playoffs, right? Wild card round, divisional round. Joe Burrow overall is 52 of 71 for a 73.2% completion percentage. The guy's on a tear. He was great against Tennessee. There is one weakness that the Cincinnati Bengals have, and it's a good pass rush. We'll get to Joe Burrow. Sacked 9 times by the Tennessee Titans, but even being sacked 9 times was still good enough to complete over 70% of his passes, put the ball in the end zone in some clutch spots, and win that game. The first player in league history to complete at least 70% of his passes in each of his first 2 career playoff games with a minimum of 10 attempts in each. He does go down to a good pass rush. My question here, Zoe, is Kansas City's pass rush good enough to get to Joey B 6 to 9 times?
So I have just seen that Tyrann Mathieu is at practice.
He is at practice. So, I saw that as well.
So that is a positive, and Kansas City loves to blitz. So it's not just about, you know, their front getting back there, which they do a pretty good job, but they love to blitz. Having Mathieu back will help a bunch. But as you pointed out, you know, even being sacked that many times, he's the second most sacked quarterback in the NFL this season. He's still in the playoffs and in the championship game. So I don't. Maybe you don't blitz as much. Maybe you play back more and try to take away the big play and make them come underneath and beat them that way.
I don't. See, here's the thing. The Chiefs haven't done that yet, right? Josh Allen was able to connect on some big plays. Joey B connected for a bunch of big plays when the Bengals beat the Chiefs back in Week 17. Again, four twenty-six through the air for Joey B in that one. 446 through the air. And Jamar Chase, as the old meme goes, bleep it, Jamar down there somewhere, wing it. And yeah, I get Tyrann Mathieu's back, but the dude can't do it by himself. And even if he locks down even if he locks down Jamar Chase, Joey B's got other guys that he's trusted to do well. And who has locked Jamar Chase down this year? Nobody. Not a DB he's been up against has been able to effectively remove or even slow down Jamar Chase.
That last game, he tore Kansas City up.
Oh, yeah.
And this was on Twitter trending topics yesterday, but I didn't get to it. Les Miles told Jamar Chase coming out of high school that he couldn't play receiver.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you get it wrong.
When you eat grass, maybe it affects
somebody. I guess. Yeah,
possibly.
A little too much pesticide on the grass down there in Baton Rouge when the old hat was in charge. The flip side, obviously, is that it seems like no matter what the quarterback lined up against Patrick Mahomes does, you can trust Mahomes to match him or do better, but at least match him, right? If Josh Allen plays the game he played last week against anybody else in the playoffs, they win that game. They beat LA like that. They beat San Francisco like that. They beat Tennessee like that. They beat everybody like that.
You would say the true key for Cincinnati winning the game would be a running game and be able to take as much time off the clock as you possibly can, have the ball last, and run the clock out as you score.
I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know, to tell you the truth. You need Joe Mixon to run the ball well, right? And by the way, he did last week. Mixon ran the ball well against Tennessee last week, but he also caught a couple out of the backfield that were drive changers, right? You line him up as a solo back, you run the draw, have him just take a little wheel route out into the empty space where Jamar has cleared out DBs to that side of the field, and you pop Joe Mixon and he picks 7 up consistently. I agree. I mean, I think either one of these teams needs to be able to run the ball well if they want to win the game. But I think we can say that about every game. I honestly think the key here is which one of these two quarterbacks gets in a rhythm with his wide receiver early, right? Because if either one of these teams takes an early lead and forces the other team to play catch up, you take their run game out of the equation.
And see, that's what bothered me about Kansas City last week. The running game was working early, and they just went away from it. They just stopped.
Well, I think they got to the point where they knew they were in a shootout. And listen, when you've got Mahomes, when you've got Allen, and I guess when you've got Joe Burrow, I'd say Tom Brady was in this group too. There are just some quarterbacks that when you go, this going to be a shootout today, you trust your quarterback to shoot, right? I trust Patrick Mahomes to shoot. I trust Joe Burrow to shoot. I think any team that wants to win a Super Bowl has got to have a good run game. But you got to know, if you get into a shootout, man, does it feel good to have a quarterback that's got a bunch of bullets in the gun ready for you. And I think both of these guys do. You know, I've given you an X factor for every playoff game so far, and I've been pretty good with them. I'll give you one more. This is going to shock you, Lonzo. The X factor in this game is the entire Cincinnati Bengals offensive line. If they are as bad as they were against Tennessee, Cincinnati loses this game. Tennessee could not shoot out, even with Derrick Henry back there. Tennessee could not shoot out with the Bengals. Even with 9 sacks, they could not shoot out with the Bengals. Kansas City can. If Cincinnati allows the Chiefs to get back there and blow Burrow's offense up a number of times, Kansas City can shoot it out. This has to be a game that the Bengals offensive line is significantly better. If the Bengals offensive line gives up another 6 sacks, Kansas City wins this game.
See, there's something else to factor in here, and that's nerves. Because Cincinnati hasn't been in this position forever. There's a lot of young guys on that team. Are they better off because they don't know what they don't know? Or are they going to get in there and is the game going to be too big for them? We know it won't for Kansas City because they've been there year after year. Will the nerves get to Cincinnati? And if it does and it gets to them early, then some points are going to be put up really quick by Kansas City.
Yeah. If you're Cincinnati, again, if you're going to get a shootout in Kansas City, I want Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase out on the edge. This is the one team left that if you go, it's going to be a shootout game, I go, that means they can win. Not they will, but they can win. But Cincinnati's offensive line has to be better. If it is not, Kansas City will run away with this. But if their offensive line can keep Kansas City's defensive line away from Joe Burrow, if they can keep Joe Burrow clean, 1 or 2 sacks tops, Joey B can win a shootout with Patrick Mahomes. Not saying he will, but he can. I don't know if there's a quarterback left that can. There's not a quarterback that comes into this game and they go, if we get into a shootout with the Chiefs, we're going to be okay. But either of the two teams over on the other side had better be able to run the ball.
There's only a couple quarterbacks like that in the entire league.
I agree. Mahomes is one. Allen is one. I would absolutely say Joey B is one. Who else? Brady's probably one. Rodgers is probably one.
I think that's about it.
Maybe Russ Wilson? Maybe?
Maybe a couple years ago.
Yeah. Anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, you're home for combat sports. It's time for Fight Club. Lonzo will walk us around the world of boxing, MMA, and professional wrestling. After that, we'll do our NFC game breakdown and then Twitter to wrap it up on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to the Fight Club. If you were on the stream, you saw me try to throw punches, but I look pretty lame doing it, so I'm just going to stop. I'm more of a throw an elbow, you know, take someone to the ground.
Forearm strike.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm more of that kind of guy. I don't want to hurt the moneymakers. You know what I'm saying? Got a lot of stuff to get to all over the place. I'm going to ask Rob eventually if we get to it who the heck Danhausen is. But first, let's start with some AEW last night, a pay-per-view-esque episode of AEW. And they do this more and more, and I mean, good for them and bad for them? Because if you're doing this on your regular shows, why should people buy a pay-per-view? Because you can only step things up so much. And Rob saw this as well as I did. The first match between Cody and Sammy Guevara, that is pay-per-view-like right there. That's you should have to pay to see that. Don't you agree?
Ish.
It takes away from the significance of a ladder match if you get it for free.
Disagree.
Especially the moves that were made in this ladder match. I get you're trying to build the company, but you're going to plateau and you're going to not bottom out, but you're going to even out eventually if you put this fantastic stuff.
Tell you what.
In a place where people can see it for free.
If you give me the option of, you can watch the same two guys wrestle six times in 6 weeks and then watch them wrestle again on a pay-per-view.
All right, so this is the same problem we have when talking Clemson or Carolina. You can't talk about one without talking about the other. We're not talking about WWE. We're just talking about AEW.
I never mentioned WWE.
Yeah, but everybody knows
what you're talking about. I never said WWE.
Everybody knows what you're talking about.
You immediately went to WWE. I never mentioned.
Everybody knows.
You did.
Everybody knows.
Here's what I'm saying. You got a little taste, right? You got a little taste.
Yeah, but it's more than a taste.
I disagree.
Thank you, 2.0.
I disagree. You got a little bit of a taste. That little bit of a taste makes you go, man, if they do this here, what else do they do, right? And I think you're right. They are trying to grow a company. They are still a fraction of the overall market share. They are still a fraction of the wrestling audience out there. The other thing that I think you've got to keep in mind is there is obviously, as we learned from Jon Moxley last week, AEW is a much edgier show than anything WWE is putting on right now, right? And I think
they did have to apologize for that.
Yeah. But that's one of those things that it's like, all right, yeah, you apologize, but it still happened. And for some of it, to me, that was the most genuine wrestling moment of this year, because that wasn't wrestler Mox. That was guy who just came out of alcohol recap telling a dude who was chanting "you alky" at him where he could shove it, and I liked it. That was the most genuine wrestling moment. Even if you weren't a fan of the language, it was a great moment in the ring. It's an edgier show, and so they're going to go a little bit bigger and crazier on their regular shows to get you to go, if that's where they're willing to go on a regular show, where will the pay-per-views go? And so far, I haven't had a complaint. There has not been an AEW pay-per-view that I have finished and went, I feel like I wasted my time.
The explosion.
I know you hated it. I know you hated it.
Come on. Come on. They were, and they could have done that so much better. I don't want to go back to that. They've improved since then. All right. The one question coming out of that match, because there were some amazing things that humans should not do, which has caused like Jeff Hardy to trend just because of when Sammy jumps from ladder to ladder, the thing that I sent you, and hits the cutter or RKO or whatever you want to call it from the top of the ladder. That was an amazing thing, but there were also botches. My question to you is, should big bumps negate botches? Because, and this is not just about AEW, WWE does this. I've seen it more and more, and I don't know, maybe I have more of an eye looking for it now, but it seems lately that botches are happening more and more, and the guys don't cover it the way they used to. You know, 5 years ago, they would cover a botch a lot better than what they seem to be able to do now.
I think there's, and I've said this in the past, botches are going to happen, but I think there's kind of a spot where the wrestling fan has changed now and looks and goes, yeah, botches happen. And you know what would happen? Like I watched two bar fights last Saturday, like actual bar fights. And when these dudes were fighting, one dude, as he was approaching the other dude, went to throw an arm and just kind of slipped and missed, right? It happens in a fight. Guys are going to miss shots. They're going to miss throws. It's whatever.
Well, in that case, there was probably some alcohol involved too, which will make your... I'm just,
sure, but...
It's in a bar. Don't look at me that way. Chances are that those guys have been drinking a little bit and got what they call liquid courage.
Sure.
And that will cause you to not be as accurate.
Sure, but booze or not, botches are going to happen, and I think it's one of the, at least for me anyway, I get to a point where I go, you know what, if there's a botch in a match, but it's a really good match, I don't care all that much. Especially because it's like, I saw one a couple weeks ago, I cannot remember, I want to say it was a match on SmackDown, where one guy was clearly supposed to shoulder charge the other coming off the ropes, but then they both shoulder charged at the same time, and so they just slammed into each other, and they both went to the ground. And it was clearly not the spot that was called, but you know what they both did? They both acted like they just got destroyed. And you went, okay, you played that off as accidents happen because it's a fight and you don't know what the other guy's about to do, but don't just immediately pop up and be like, oh,
right,
crap,
right,
let's automatically do that spot again. Roll on to the next one and just have the fight.
Yeah, because things have been choreographed to a point where they don't know how to get to the next point because they missed that one.
Yeah, so how do we transition to the next move? Just get up and do it.
All right, couple more things for AEW. MJF sits Indian style on CM Punk. What did you think about that?
Hilarious. Thought it was great. I thought it was a despicable move. It was insulting. It was disrespectful, and it was freaking MJF. It was absolutely perfect.
I don't like it because what it means, more than likely, if you look at the trends of how wrestling goes, that means CM Punk's going to win the match. And it should never happen. And that bothers me.
CM Punk should never win a match?
He should not be able to beat MJF. They're supposedly going to wrestle next week. MJF, much better wrestler, much better on the mic. CM Punk is old and should not win. But because they got the advantage on him, next week CM Punk will win.
I
hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong.
No. I don't understand this thought of there's no way a guy who has been doing it for this many years.
But he hasn't, though. He took 6 years off.
And you think he just was?
Oh, he went and got his face beat in the MMA and got a paycheck.
Right.
Yeah. So other than that, he was,
comes down
he was
to
acting in some movies. And
CM
things.
Punk shouldn't win because Lonzo doesn't like was a bad MMA fighter.
No, that's not it. That is not it. It comes down to that he's overrated, and he's come back, and he's getting his push, and really all he's doing is going out and
being CM Punk,
and
looking, which is what we like about
him. He's going out and looking old. I would rather, you know, there are people who CM Punk was their hero. Wouldn't you rather that hero stay that way instead of coming back and slowly going downhill? which I believe he is, and I think you have CM Punk colored glasses and you just can't see it.
I think you have anti-punk colored glasses and can't see it.
I do, but you know they help me to see with much better vision than yours. All right, finally AEW, Orange Cassidy and Adam Cole go at it. It was a great match. Factions got involved, except for one Kyle O'Reilly who was missing.
Saw that.
I don't know why that is. Maybe COVID came into play or something. We don't know, but he wasn't there, and I thought that was a little weird. But it was a great match. Orange Cassidy is one of those guys who's actually being pushed. They have a ton of talent that they can't get on TV because they have too much, but he is out there every week. But at the end of the match, and I don't know if you saw the end of the match, it looked like Adam Cole was dead. And I was genuinely concerned. But if you're going to take your first loss in AEW,
it's a good way to do it.
That's the way to do it.
Good way to do it.
It is.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought every bit of it was great. I thought Cassidy being ready for the cup check was great. I thought the chain being worked in multiple times by both guys was great. I thought the run-ins by the factions were great, but not detrimental to the match, right? The fact that they negated each other and let those two guys still have the spotlight.
And
I
because
was
it was no DQ, it's fine. Yep. It was within the rules, whereas some run-ins, they get away with it, and they shouldn't.
I thought it was great. I thought that the finishing spot was entertaining. It was as Cassidy and Adam Cole Bebe as you could ask for out of those two guys. And frankly, Adam Cole's gotten over on Cassidy, three times in a row now in three different matches. So to give Cassidy his payoff there, I don't know if it ends the feud or not. I don't know if I'm suspecting we're going to see a bit of a faction feud coming up, which I think Adam Cole and the Elite go over ultimately. But I thought it was as good of a match as those two could have possibly put on. I was shocked it was the main event as opposed to that ladder match. And I thought, man, after what that ladder match brought, Guevara and Rhodes were so good. How are these guys going to keep up with that? And they figured out a way to.
They did. They absolutely did. And, yeah, it's hard when you start off with a match that's on fire like that to be able to continue it throughout the evening. We're going to get to Royal Rumble because we're going to pick the matches. Before we do that, while I was over on my other job, I saw Stephen A. Smith was on TV with one of your favorites, Logan Paul. So I turned it up because I wanted to hear what they were talking about. Logan Paul says he wants to fight Canelo in 3 years. Because he says in 3 years, he will be a better boxer and be ready to do it. And he says that he is not a better boxer now, that Canelo is a much better boxer, that he's bigger, he's better, talking about Logan Paul, talking about himself. And he called himself a unicorn. So my question is Logan Paul a unicorn, Rob?
He's what a unicorn's horn would do to you if it poked you.
You know? He has brought attention to your sport of boxing, whether you like him or not. Yes, people are paying attention. Oh, he absolutely has.
Boxing. Or to YouTube views.
Logan Paul's on with Stephen A. Smith. That's bringing attention.
Yeah, he should not be. He shouldn't be. This is the spot I'd like to go.
The mothership disagrees with you.
I'd like to go to Stephen A. Smith, and I'd like to say, instead of having Logan Paul on to issue a stupid 3 years away YouTube challenge to Canelo Alvarez, you know who you could have on to talk about boxing? Canelo Alvarez! Why don't you put the boxer on? Why are we not talking about Tyson Fury, Dillian Whyte? Why are we not talking about Anthony Joshua, Alexander Usyk? Why are we not talking about boxing, and instead we're having this guy who's a jackass on to talk about his version of it?
How many followers do those other guys have?
Is that how we determine what's good and what's bad on TV?
I think right now that determines an awful lot of what gets on TV. How many followers you have.
Yeah, it turns out when you only put the guys on TV that have followers, they're the only ones that have followers, right? Like how Stephen A. Smith has a voice, how much better off would it be if he let Canelo Alvarez come on and be entertaining and then say, follow him on Twitter, at Canelo Alvarez. Then he'd have more followers. This has been my problem forever. This is why social media is a downfall. Because if you look and you go, we're going to have this guy on, he's got 5 million followers. Then that other guy with 4 million followers or 1 million followers never gets a chance to get more followers.
By the way, you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Lonzo and Word.
I mean, I stand in Lonzo's greatness. I don't even want to bring up my Twitter handle. It's not worth it. I don't have as many followers.
All right, let's go to the Royal Rumble, which is on Saturday night, which is good because it doesn't interfere with the NFL, and it's a smart move on their part putting it on Saturday night. I know, I believe that you are that you would like all their pay-per-views to be on Saturday.
Yes, night. It's crazy that they're not.
It interferes with something I do on Saturday, but I agree with you because it doesn't interfere with other stuff. And now that Peacock has made it to where I can rewind back some, I'm good. All right, let's get to the matches really quick while we have a little bit of time. Let's go ahead and start with the big one, Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. Who you got?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know.
We can come
back
to it if you want to think
about it. No, I mean, I've gone back and forth about this. I think I'm going to go Lesnar, right? Like, I think I got to go Lesnar. It's Vince's dude, and I know that you get angry when I do this, but Lashley beating Lesnar would be a moment, right? Like, that would be a moment. And I think, but both of these guys are on meteoric rises, and I almost think we get round two at WrestleMania, and that's where the flip happens.
All right, so I am going with Bobby Lashley to beat Brock Lesnar, and here's my reasoning is they didn't get the match they wanted with Lesnar against Roman Reigns. If he loses his belt, he can move on over to SmackDown and go after that belt again like was originally planned, and then you can bring somebody else back against Lashley. Yes, you know who I want it to be, but it probably won't be. I think Big E's run is over.
I think they're over him.
I think it might be somebody else who I believe is going to win the Royal Rumble, and we'll get to that in just a moment. All right, Universal Championship between Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins has beaten Roman Reigns every single time.
Is that so?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess it is, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Guess it is.
And they've been pushing it on TV, pointing out that Roman can't beat Seth Rollins.
I am going to say Reigns wins, right? Like, I think there's two ways this plays out. It's but obviously the Usos barred from ringside now, right? So now Roman has to do it for the first time completely by himself. And I suspect one of two things happens. KO's going to come out, and he's either going to distract Roman and Rollins is going to win, or KO's going to come out and he's going to cause Rollins to lose, and you're going to get a KO Seth Rollins feud while Roman goes on to flirt with Brock or whoever else. I'm leaning Reigns retaining. I have to think that the two dudes that are known to be Vince's guys, which are Brock and Roman, I got to think they carry the straps into WrestleMania, right? Like, I got to think both of those guys carry straps because you're still set up to where you've got Lashley with another chance and whoever wins the Royal Rumble going against Roman, and there's two supercard matches right there.
All right, so I'm going to go with Roman also, but there is another pay-per-view between now and WrestleMania that they could change belts at. And it's in Saudi Arabia.
I don't know. I mean,
depends on how much money the princes have paid to see someone win the belt.
You're not wrong.
All right. Miz and Maryse versus Edge and Beth Phoenix. Yeah, we've seen this match before, except it was with John Cena and Annabella. But we've never seen Edge and Beth Phoenix wrestle together in a ring. I'm kind of excited to see that. But I think it's pretty easy who should win this match. And I've just changed my mind. I think The Miz is going to win.
I had already put it down. I think Miz and Maryse shock everybody. I think they cheat. I think they find a screwy way, a gimmicky way to win. But I don't think we're done with this feud, right? Especially, can we talk about how much pop Beth Phoenix has been getting lately?
Especially this past Monday when she had the guns out.
Holy crap, yeah. Beth Phoenix is ripped.
And I was thinking, yeah, there's no way. She's been a mom for a while. She hasn't
shredded.
Been in the ring. There's no way she's been. And yeah, she is.
She is shredded. Yeah, she looks good.
And Maryse is not. So there's that. I mean, not that Maryse is fat or anything, but she's not. I mean, Beth Phoenix looks like Beth Phoenix, which is a big shocker.
Yeah, she was shredded. Ms. Maryse win. This fight's not done.
All right, Raw Women's Championship between Becky Lynch and Doudrop. This is a waste of time because they're not going to let Becky lose to Doudrop. If they did, it would be the biggest shocker of the entire pay-per-view and probably the biggest shocker in wrestling for a while if that were to happen.
Yeah, Becky wins.
Yeah, Becky.
I don't feel like we need to spend time on
Becky
this
is going to win. All right, so Men's Royal Rumble. Before we pick who we think is going to win, here are three possibilities to. By the way, only 22 of the men have been announced, which leaves eight more to to surprise. The rumors out there are John Moxley, Cody Rhodes, and Chris Jericho. Any of those have any validity?
No. There's no AEW guys in the Royal Rumble. It's not happening.
Do you think ROH guys show up?
Possibly. I mean, we already know one ROH wrestler, or no, Impact wrestler is in the Women's Rumble now. I think it's a possibility that you have one or two guys that kind of pull an AJ Styles and come out of nowhere, and I think the pop would be enormous if it happens, but none of them are going to win it.
All right, so if any of the three were to come, which one would you think would be most likely? Because I agree, probably none of them are. But of the three, I think John Moxley is the most likely.
I think Mox is the most likely.
Because they've actually shown him on screen for a couple weeks
in a row. I agree with you, but here's the thing. Do you throw Mox in there without Reigns and Rollins in there? Right? Wouldn't it be somebody? Unless Reigns and Rollins are in it. Right? Because we still have, what do we got, 8 slots left to be filled between now and Saturday? You know, if let's say, theoretically, Rollins... Let's say Rollins is announced. Is Rollins in? Is he announced? No, he's not, right?
No, he's not in. Because he's got a championship
match. Let's say they do this. I'm fantasy booking because I'm having fun. Rollins says, I'm entering the match just in case, insurance purposes. Then he beats Reigns, but he's already in, so he's got to go out there. And Reigns is lost, so he goes, screw it. I'm jumping in last minute so I can get my crack at Reigns back. And then Mox comes out after both of them. Would be incredible. But it's not going to happen. Stop building up people's hopes, Lonzo, you emotional Hoover.
That's what I do. All right, so let's pick who we think is going to win. I'm going to go first. I think Austin Theory wins it. He's been getting his push for a reason. I don't know why. The vignettes with McMahon are funny and also sad at the same time because McMahon he's getting old, people, because that's what happens. It's life. You get old. But I'm going to pick Austin Theory. Because it could be anybody. This is not a year where you go, yeah, this guy's getting a push. He's getting it. At least I don't think
so. Yeah, no, I agree. I'll tell you who I can I give you a dark horse?
Sure.
Kevin Owens. Give you a dark horse, a KO. If one way or the next, Seth Rollins beats Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens wins the Rumble. If Seth Rollins does not beat Roman Reigns, then I think it's Austin Theory as well.
All right, women's role.
Which I hate, by the way. I don't get it.
Yeah, I liked Austin Theory in NXT with The Way. I thought that was
a good
move.
Yeah, and then Vince decided to ruin NXT and every character coming out of it. But let's keep going.
Be that as it may, and you're accurate about that. Women's Royal Rumble coming up. 21 people have been announced. 21 women have been announced. Here are a couple people who could be coming back. One is Bayley, which... is a big possibility. The other one,
face or heel Bayley?
It's still going to be
if
heel.
If she's face Bayley, I'm all in.
Yeah,
hug life.
I think she's going to be hello Bayley. And the other one, which is getting a lot of pop on social media, Ronda Rousey.
Heard about that one today, but I haven't heard anything other than a bunch of fans saying it. Right.
I saw Renee talking to somebody on her podcast, just, you know, a clip of it.
Yeah.
And they're talking about it.
Well.
And with Renee talking about it, I think it adds a little.
I mean,
and she could be doing what we're doing, fantasy booking.
Yeah, just fantasy booking. I think you're going to see more NXT people show up than you think you will.
Yeah, probably.
And obviously we've got, so, you know, Mickie James is going to be there because why not? I think they said, oh, and Kelly coming back. The Bella twins are coming back. So you're going to get a who's who, but we know whoever's going to win it is going to come off of one of the main brands. My I'd like to win it pick is Liv Morgan. I'd like Liv to win.
I think a lot of people would like her to win.
But I think you're getting Bianca, which I'd be fine with too.
By the way, I agree. I think Bianca wins it again, and that would be 2 years in a row.
And to answer the question you didn't ask,
who is Danhausen?
He's awesome.
But who is he?
He's just he's an indie guy that's been on ROH, and he's been in a couple of other smaller promotions. And he describes himself as very nice but very evil. He's basically a B-movie horror villain who doesn't have powers but believes that he does, which is what he was doing to Adam Cole. He was cursing him, but I'd like to point out, he cursed Adam Cole.
And then he lost.
And then Cole lost.
Hmm.
Danhausen is elite.
Well, I can't wait to see the intro to see if matches his look.
Love this guy.
And how long will it be before he pairs up with Sting and Dirty?
You will very much like this. One of his things is just... randomly dancing mid-match to different like 1970 songs to get in the head of his opponents. It's hysterical.
Oh, we're going to throw some Bee Gees?
Love this guy.
All right, I'm down.
Quick break. NFC Championship breakdown, Twitter breakdown next on the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jeff Garcia just went on a tear on Mina Kimes. Quote, who the hell is Mina Kimes and when is the last time she ever threw a touchdown pass in a game? Never, ever, exclamation point. Has she taken a snap or can truly understand the ability, the mindset, the physical and mental toughness that it takes to play the quarterback position or any position in the NFL? The fact that there are people out there given a platform to talk about something that they have never done is hilarious, and that's how you have to look at her. She's a joke, end quote. Can I just say that, Jeff, you haven't done it, therefore you can't talk about it take is the weakest, oldest, garbagest take that a former player has, right? A former player, the only reason a former player says something like that is because they can't get and keep a job doing this, right? And so the only thing they have is, well, I played the game, therefore I should get a mic. No, Jeff, you're right. There are things about the NFL that you will know that I can't, right? I'll never know what it's like to sit in on a contract signing for an NFL team. I'll never know what it's like in an NFL locker. Well, that's not true. I've been in NFL locker rooms. I'll never know what it's like to be a player in an NFL locker room to say, here's what makes good chemistry and not. Those are things that you have an edge of me on. But if you're telling me I can't diagnose a coverage because I've never stood under center and looked at one, you're wrong. They're on TV. We can all watch them. We can all game scheme them. We can all watch film and figure it out, right? If you're telling me I can't diagnose a quarterback's fundamentals because I never played quarterback, Jeff, I've used this analogy 100 times and I'll use it again. You don't need to be a 5-star Michelin star winning chef to know when the steak is burnt. You feel me? I don't know how to make the perfect souffle to tell you when the souffle comes out that it tastes bad. You feel me? I don't need to be able to do the thing to tell you when the thing's not being done well. I've told this story before. I can't remember who it was, but there's a comedian who got told by a lady, he was doing jokes about kids, right? But he didn't have kids. And the lady said, you don't have kids, so you don't know what it's like. And he said, yeah, I'm also not a helicopter pilot, but if I see a helicopter stuck in a tree, I know that guy did it wrong, right? The whole you have to have done it to talk about it thing is tired. It's tired. Stop. Just quit. Texter says, ESPN, I just turned into your show, Rob, and now I'm tuning out because wrestling is not a sport. It's barely entertainment. It would be fine to be covered by Nickelodeon because both wrestling and Nickelodeon appeal to kids. Grow up. Well, I'll tell you, Texter, and I appreciate the text. I understand it's not for everybody. Lonzo, how many pure wrestling segments do we do a week?
One.
One segment. One segment.
And it's not always just wrestling. Sometimes it's heavy on MMA. Sometimes heavy on boxing.
Yeah. We do 12 segments a day. We do 5 shows a week. We do 60 segments a week. 59 of them might involve a wrestling reference, but they're not about it. We do one time. And again, Lonzo and I sat at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena about 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago for Monday Night Raw. It was sold out, people. There weren't empty chairs anywhere. And you know who else in this building was there?
Yeah, somebody in this building owned one of those seats or purchased one of those seats in the front row.
Yeah, our boss.
Yeah, so.
Our boss.
You know.
You don't have to like a thing, and that's okay. Let people enjoy what they enjoy. But my goodness, we do a segment on a thing that a lot of people like.
Wrestling
also did a tennis segment.
Fake. It's fake. Yeah, we know. I want to hear stats. I don't want to hear about wrestling. Oh, my gosh. I'm turning out.
Yeah.
You didn't, though. You're hearing everything we're saying about you right now.
If you don't like a segment, it's okay. Give us 5 minutes and come back because it's going to be something else. Twitter trying to top us to wrap it up when we come back on the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
You smile when the waiter brings it and you're like spitting it back into your napkin. All right, time for Twitter trending topics. By the way, you're missing out if you're not on the ESPN Upstate Facebook page. We had a wonderful discussion about brie and souffle, and you didn't get to hear it. So you need to check that out every day because we're always live. All right, the first thing that's trending, and I don't know if you're going to want to do this or not, but Neil Young is trending.
Yeah, he was trending yesterday, too. We talked a little bit about him. Neil Young has decided to pull his music off of Spotify.
Oh, he didn't pull it. He gave them an ultimatum.
Yeah, he said either pull Joe Rogan or pull me.
So they pulled him.
Yeah, so they said, well, he said pull Joe Rogan or pull me. And they said, okay, well, which doesn't shock me at all because I suspect Rogan probably has more streams daily than Neil Young
got
does.
Got like over millions of followers or a million followers. Anyway, it comes down to what we were talking about earlier. Followers do kind of factor into some things.
Oh, 100%. If Neil Young had three times as many listeners as Joe Rogan does, then I suspect they'd have made a different decision.
Absolutely.
But it comes down. He says, hey, look, Joe Rogan's lying about the vaccine. You know, it's up to you to decide if Joe Rogan's either misinformed or lying. But he said, pull him or pull me. And they said, okay, later. But again, you know, Neil Young got a bump in listeners a couple of years ago because he had a song in that movie Quiet Place with Jim Halpert in it. And then, you know, he's Neil Young. And don't get me wrong, I love Neil Young, but I also know I'm in a vast minority in that case.
Neil Young's like, what, 75 or something like that?
I heard Neil Young sing about her. I heard old Neil put her down. Well, I hope Neil Young will remember. Southern man don't need him around anyhow.
He's getting ready for the Reba concert tonight.
You daggum right I am, boys. I'll see y'all there. If you're at the Reba McEntire concert, I'll be the tall, good-looking cowboy in the black hat. Come see me. That's it for us. Diesel and Mark Ryan up next with Offside. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Have a good one. We're back tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Later, brother.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.